The Jets have made plenty of changes on the offensive side of the ball this offseason, but what can these moves tell us about the big picture vision Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have as they try and build a good offense around Zach Wilson? We'll discuss on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Monday, May 23rd, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making this show your first listen or your first watch every day. Big shout out to subscribers to this podcast. And if you'd like to join that group, just hit the subscribe button where podcasts are found. If you're watching on YouTube, please give the episode a big thumbs up. Helps the channel out, and it helps other Jets fans find the podcast. Our episode today is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, I hope you had a great weekend. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm traveling, visiting some family this week, so different venue. If you're listening, then probably no adjustment for you at all. You'll just hear you'll hear my voice, as you always do. As I mentioned on Friday, this is likely going to be, it could change, but this is probably going to be the final week before training camp where we do 5 days a week. Now, the podcast is not going away. We'll still have episodes through the summer, but during the months of June and July, we typically scale things back a little bit to a couple episodes a week because there's not as much to talk about. And also, I need to rest a little bit. You know, we do this 5 days a week for most of the year, so just a little programming note ahead. Of course, OTAs are getting underway for the Jets, and I don't have much to talk about OTAs, to be honest with you. The way I view it is these are practices. And, you know, like, during the regular season, like, would you care if, like, somebody had, like, three good practices in a row? No, you wouldn't. But there's nothing else to talk about these days. So, like, I think the results of OTAs, we may talk about them in the days ahead, but I don't want to put too much stock into them. So I'm not doing an OTA preview show. I'm sorry to disappoint you if that's what you were hoping for. Instead, since this could be our last week of daily episodes for the summer, I kind of wanted to do an off-season in review as we get ready for training camp, and I want to talk about the moves the Jets made on the offensive side of the ball, and some of the things that they could tell us about what Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are trying to build on offense. And I would begin by looking at the way the Jets have built this run game, because they brought in Laken Tomlinson, a very early free agent signing this year. They brought in a couple tight ends. They brought in CJ Uzama from Cincinnati. They brought in Tyler Conklin from Minnesota. And I think if you watched the Jets last year, you know Mike LaFleur wants to get to double tight end sets fairly frequently. You know, the Jets are not going to be a team with the base offense of two tight ends. There's no team in the league that has that. But they're going to use two tight ends probably among the league leaders. They'll use two tight ends at a very high rate relative to the rest of the league. Last year, they tried to do it with Tyler Croft and Ryan Griffin and, you know, Wesco and all these other guys, and really was not something that fit the personnel very well. But as I mentioned, they also brought in Laken Tomlinson, and then, of course, in the second round, he traded up for Breece Hall. And the way I kind of view developing a quarterback, and this is very broad, and it's not, you know, it's not set in stone, and obviously there's some degree of overlap, but the two ways I see you can bring along a quarterback in this league are, one, you can try and make your system, quote-unquote, quarterback-friendly. And that means you're sticking him in the shotgun a lot, you know, not forcing him to take drops, you know, master the footwork, spreading the field, trying to simplify things pre-snap, because when you spread the field, the defense can't disguise things as much, because they have to essentially account for every receiver who's out in the formation, so you have to put somebody out to... You can't really hide your intentions as a blitzer as well, because more people are drawn outside the formation. You don't have as many people near the line. The other approach is to try and build a really strong run game. And that's the kind of thing that can keep the quarterback out of bad situations. It's the type of thing that can move the ball without asking the quarterback to do a whole lot. To a certain extent, it sets up play action, although the numbers show us that the success you have on play action is actually very little to do with how successfully you run the ball. You know, people think but it certainly can help. If you're known as a heavy run team, if you run the ball frequently, play action, you know, you probably get defenses to commit more against the run. And it's pretty clear that the Jets are focused on more towards the second goal, that they want to build a really strong run game. And that's no real surprise, because Mike LaFleur, of course, is off the Kyle Shanahan tree. And here's one of the funny things about the NFL. You know, we always talk about how it's a passing league, and it absolutely is. There's no question that the NFL is a passing league. It's been that way for years and years and years. So that's really, and you know, it feels like each year the passing game becomes more and more relevant. And that's a trend that's been going for 120 years in the game of football. The passing game just continues to become more and more relevant. Yet, like, the bright offensive minds everybody gravitates to, whether it's Kyle Shanahan, whether it's Sean McVay, maybe not so much Andy Reid, but in football, and, you know, even if you go to the college level, Lincoln Riley, they really want to establish the run. That's kind of like their first focus. So it's really no surprise, and it makes a lot of sense. We talked all summer last year about how the Jets were installing this wide zone run game, and essentially, you know, that means at the snap, everybody on the offensive line is moving in the same direction. Your running back essentially sets off in an angle towards the outside. Typically, it's toward the outside hip of either the tight end or the tackle on the side he's running on. And he's trying to get outside. And if he can get outside and break a big run, then that's great. But if the outside's kind of shut off, if the defense has set the edge, then he tries to look inside. And essentially, he has to pick a hole. He has to find the right hole to run through. And then he has to just explode through it. He has to, like, put his foot in the ground and then get upfield. He makes one cut. And you may hear an announcer talk during the game about a one-cut runner. Essentially, that's what he is. And that's what this system is based on. And one of the things that really works well in San Francisco for Kyle Shanahan, off play action. And again, the numbers suggest that, like, how effectively you run the ball really does not have a whole lot to do with how effective you are off play action. What makes play action effective is when you can disguise what you're doing. And one of the things Kyle Shanahan does really well is he makes the play action passes, he makes the blocking schemes look like they're run plays. And the reason play action is so effective in football is every defender near the line of scrimmage essentially begins the play with two assignments. He's typically assigned one or two gaps in the run game. And a gap is the space between blockers. So it could be the space between the guard and the center, or the guard and the tackle, or the tackle and the tight end, or just the tackle and outside. But typically, defenders are also assigned either a man or a zone to cover. So many cases, what happens is when they see the run, they have to play the run because their assignment is against the run. And if the team is throwing a pass off play action, then typically this defender's out of position. It makes the quarterback's life much easier. And this, as much as anything, is part of the reason the Shanahan system is considered so effective, especially when you base things off play action, because they disguise their play action plays very well. They make their play action passes look like run plays. And it's a really interesting way to build around a quarterback. And that's essentially what the Jets are going to look to do around Zach Wilson. And to me, this makes sense because, you know, last year, Zach, let's be honest, if we're going to be honest, Zach was not ready to play week one. And the Jets made him, I think the Jets viewed last year essentially across their roster as kind of a learning experience because they went young everywhere. They had rookies playing all over the place. They had second year guys. And we even talked last summer about how it was interesting. There were a number of spots where the Jets did not bring in veteran stopgaps who could kind of hold the fort, who could kind of give you credibility to position. They instead decided to go really, really young. And I think the philosophy behind that was, you know what, we may have a rough year, but we'll just get our guys will learn by doing. They'll get their mistakes out of the way, and next year will be better. But I think they put Zach in a really tough spot last year because this was not a team, especially early in the season, that was all that effective running the football because, you know, you had Van Roten at right guard. You had those issues at tight end. You did not have the backfield you have this year with Breece Hall. Now, you did have Michael Carter, who was a pretty good back. But, you know, you didn't have the same type of talent. Now the Jets, I really think the Jets are going to have a good run game this year if everybody stays healthy. You've, again, four blockers on the offensive line. Four of your five guys outside of George Fant's the one weak guy. But four of your five offensive linemen are strong run blockers. That's really good. I'll take four out of five any day. Two tight ends. I mean, the tight ends, I think, are okay. I don't think the tight ends are anything special. But you now have what I think has the potential to be one of the top running back duos in the league in Breece Hall and Michael Carter. I mean, Michael Carter right now, to me, is like going to be the number two back, which is It's crazy. Michael Carter's a really good back. He's going to be the second back on this team. And I think that this is what you needed because, again, Zach looks like he needs some development. And essentially, like, if you put Zach out there and you give him nothing to work, you give him no infrastructure, the way we did with Sam, the way we did with Geno, it's not going to work well. I mean, the thing is, like, when you surround a young quarterback with talent, you can't guarantee he's going to be successful. But if you fail to surround a young quarterback with talent and a plan, you can virtually guarantee he's going to fail. And I feel like the Jets have given Zach Wilson a fighting chance, and it seems like they've really focused on building a strong run game above all else. You know, they're essentially going to try and bring this quarterback around by building the ground game, keeping him out of bad situations, giving him something to lean on, because at the end of the day, the Jets are going to be at their best if they ask Zach Wilson to do as little as possible. You don't want Zach Wilson to have the Aaron Rodgers role where he has to be the hero every week. You want him to be in a role where he can, I don't want to use the term game manager because it's kind of a cliche and it's kind of an insult. You just want him to be able to play within himself, though, and to come along at his own pace. So I think that's clearly the first thing that the Jets have taught me this offseason as they've built their offense. There's another thing that they've taught me, though, and it's about how they're going to try and bring receivers along to grow with Zach Wilson. And I'll tell you what that is as we continue on this Monday episode of Locked On Jets. Of course, it is the NFL offseason. The Jets are participating in their offseason program, but we're not that far away from the start of training camp, from the start of preseason, and then the regular NFL season begins this fall. And if you want to place some bets on NFL futures, if you think the Jets have done a great job building around Zach Wilson this offseason, go to BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and sports info, and the Jets have pretty good odds. Not a lot of bettors believe in them, so you can make some good money if you want to put some down on the Jets. You can also find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and the Stanley Cup playoffs for you Rangers fans. Rangers, a big win to stay alive. Well, they weren't technically facing elimination, but a big win nonetheless yesterday in their second round series. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen or first watch every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Today we're talking about things that we've learned this offseason, or at least things we think we've learned about the way Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are trying to build this thing on offense. Jets obviously had a very active offseason as far as free agency goes, and of course four of the top 36 picks in the NFL draft. Now the second thing that I learned, in the first segment I talked about how the Jets want to build a run game around Zach Wilson, of course, they want to make sure he has a quality group of receivers around him as well. And the second thing I think I learned this offseason is the Jets really want a group that's going to grow with Zach Wilson. So what do I mean by that? Well, there were a couple different ways the Jets could have gone about this offseason at the receiver position. They could have gone out and gotten an established guy. If you listened all offseason, you know that was my preferred method. They did not go that way. Now, yes, they were involved. They made a big offer for Tyreek Hill. They did, so I guess you can't say that entirely, but you look across the rest of the landscape. They were not aggressive when they had a chance to get Amari Cooper. We talked about that, you know, a few months back. A.J. Brown was sitting there on draft night. They weren't able to land him. We don't know what was going on with Deebo Samuel, but the Jets did not make the monster offer. And even like with the Tyreek Hill thing, they could have beaten Miami's offer if they wanted to. They chose not to. And I think this shows what the plan is, because just as there are a couple different ways you can bring along a young quarterback, there are a couple different philosophies you can have for surrounding a young quarterback with a quality group of receivers. The first way is to bring in veterans. And the mindset, I think, behind that is essentially, well, you have a young quarterback. You know, he's not really going to be able to direct traffic out there. I go back to something Boomer Esiason said back during the season. I think it was November, December, where he talked about when he was a veteran quarterback with the Jets and Wayne Krabet was a rookie, and he essentially reminded Wayne Krabet before a play what his responsibility was if there was a blitz and they scored a touchdown on it because the Patriots blitzed in the way Boomer called out. So Krabet ran where Boomer told him to go. And Boomer's point was essentially, Zach Wilson can't do that, so you got to get a receiver. You know, that's the philosophy behind the idea of getting a receiver in who knows what he's doing, a receiver who doesn't need to be reminded what to do, somebody who can run precise routes. Now, the other way to do this is go really young at receiver and bring in wide receivers who can grow with your quarterback, who are going to be here 8 to 10 years. And again, this is not like, it's not like you choose one definitively over the other. And sometimes teams mix and match. You know, sometimes teams blend veteran and young guys. And of course, the Jets did try to trade for Tyreek Hill. So you can't say entirely this was the plan, but given what the Jets were willing to give up for players, given the fact the Jets were not willing to you know, make unbelievable offers that the other team couldn't refuse for these veterans, I think that like it shows me that Joe Douglas did not think it was absolutely imperative to get a veteran receiver in here. I think he'd show it was one of those things that he would do it if it was at the right price, but if not, he was very comfortable going through the draft and getting Garrett Wilson to pair with Elijah Moore. And of course, you do have a veteran in Corey Davis, so it is a little bit of a blend. But now you have two young receivers who they're going to hope grow with Zach Wilson through the years. And the benefits to this are, you know, pretty obvious, I think, especially if Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson both turn out as good as we think they will, because these guys will develop chemistry early. And that chemistry will last for a very long time. And these things show up in very, very subtle ways. These are things that are very easy to miss when you're watching on Sunday, but sometimes it's just a split second, you know, knowing exactly when your receiver is going to break on a certain route. You know, if you miss it by a split second, it could be the difference between a big completion and perhaps an interception. So the Jets, I think, are building a receiving core that they hope, at least, will grow with Zach Wilson. And as Zach develops, they'll develop with him. And these guys will be, you know, kind of the next great group for the Jets franchise. Again, these are hopes. We don't know whether it's going to play out this way. And I think it's important to say that these are philosophies. The things I'm talking about today are very philosophical things. And when it comes to the NFL, like philosophical things, there's no right or wrong answer. You know, there are multiple different ways to build a good team. There are multiple different ways to build your team correctly. So, you know, going back to the first segment, what I was talking about, would it be, you know, would the Jets be wrong if they were trying to build a system where Zach Wilson was in the shotgun all the time and you weren't running the ball as much? No. Would the Jets have been wrong to go out and get a veteran receiver this offseason at the expense of Garrett Wilson and, you know, maybe go a little bit older at the receiver position? To be honest with you, like through the offseason, that was kind of the direction I was leaning in. You know, I think that the addition of Breece Hall and the fact that they're leaning more towards the run game makes the young receiver approach make more sense to me, because now in the early stages, they can kind of lean in the run game. And then as Zach develops and as these receivers develop, you know, a few years from now, maybe you lean more towards your passing game. So these are things that, like, there's not necessarily a wrong answer. And there's not necessarily a right answer. It's all about how well you implement these concepts. But, you know, I think it's pretty clear what the Jets want to do on this offensive side of the ball. They want to run the ball, and they want to give Zach Wilson a group of receivers who, yes, have talent, yes, are going to be good right now, but they hope will develop great in the future, and they hope they will develop with Zach. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll close out this Monday show talking about lessons from the Jets building their offense this offseason, and I'm going to discuss how I think Joe Douglas may have made an exception for an exceptional talent when it comes to the way he views positions. That's ahead here on this Monday, Locked On Jets. Well, it's been a long decade for the Jets. Most of the years we've seen recently have had very bad offenses. Hopefully they fixed the offense this offseason. And you should know that if you need to fix your car or truck, go to rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain store to have all the parts you need. They ask you pointless questioning, and they wait, and you have to wait while the person behind the counter orders the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. Well, of course, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You save time and money when using Rock Auto, and it's a family business. It's been serving do-it-yourselfers like you for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Monday. We're talking about things that we've learned about the Jets team building approach on the offensive side of the ball this offseason. And I'm going to close out by talking about a player the Jets drafted. We actually talked about him already, Breece Hall. I did not think the Jets would draft him in the second round, and I was pleasantly surprised that they did. I did not think Joe Douglas would draft a running back as early, much less trade up for a running back early in the second round. But they did. They went up and got Breece Hall. And I have to tell you, like, I'm not a big fan of using a lot of resources on a running back typically, but I felt like Breece Hall was just an exceptional talent. You know, where the Jets were drafting in the second round, it was a good spot for them. The value made sense. And going back to what we talked about in the first segment, if you want to build a dominant run game, getting Breece Hall makes a lot of sense. I just didn't think Joe Douglas would do it. Joe Douglas is, you know, we've seen Joe Douglas really adheres to positional value. And there's no question about it. I mean, every team does to some degree. Positions are not equal in the NFL. There's just no question. That's not even debatable. You know, your typical running back's not going to be as valuable as your typical edge rusher. But there are exceptions. And the guys at the very top are very... It doesn't matter what position you're at. The guys at the very top are very valuable. Even, like, running back, which, if we're talking about, like, if we're excluding, like, stuff like long snapper or punter or kicker or fullback, we're talking about, like, the real positions. Like, running back might be the least valuable position in the NFL. But if you have a guy who's at the very top, a guy who's excellent, that's a very valuable player. Jonathan Taylor, you know, Christian McCaffrey when he's healthy, Alvin Kamara. These are guys who have made big impacts. There aren't many like them, and that's the reason running backs maybe not as valuable as other positions. There are only a handful of guys who make a big difference. But if you have one of them, it makes a big difference. And I think the question for me was, would Joe Douglas make an exception? And in a different context, before the NFL draft, he was talking about Kyle Hamilton. He talked about how at the lower value positions, he's looking for quote-unquote unicorns. Well, I think he showed that that's true, that he's willing to make an exception for an exceptional talent, because that's what Breece, at least we hope Breece Hall is. You know, who knows how, none of us knows for sure how Breece Hall will turn out in this league, but I think the hope is that Breece Hall truly is an exceptional talent. And even though Joe Douglas is going to be more focused as he builds this team on the premium positions, especially with his early round picks, I don't think he's going to use big resources on a ton of running backs. I don't think he'll use big resources on many running backs going forward. In fact, you know, Joe Douglas not using big resources on running backs is kind of vindicated from the fact he got Michael Carter in the fourth round as a really solid player. So there's a real rationale for not necessarily going crazy when you're trying to get running backs. But if there's an exception, if there's a guy who's a truly exceptional talent, then the Jets will kind of bend their own rules to go get that player. And I think that, to me, that's a good thing. The first two things are kind of more philosophical. This, to me, is I don't think you ever want to be so rigid that you're ever ruling a specific player out just because of his position. Within reason, again, like long snappers, I'm out. Punters, I'm out. You know, second-round kickers, we've been down that road before. You've been a Jets fan since 2005 or before. You've been down that road with the second-round kicker. But other, you know, the positions that are every down positions, you can make an exception for a guy who's great. Because at the end of the day, if you have a guy who's great as a running back, that's very valuable. A guy who's average as a running back, not so valuable. But if you find a guy who's great, most cases you're not going to take a running back early. But there are cases where I think it makes sense. And I thought this was a situation where it made sense for the Jets. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoyed the show, hit that subscribe button. Big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.